How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet or meet you, my name's Nick Stepanovic. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I'm so excited you've decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us, worshiping God and praising His name. And there's no place that I would rather be than right here with you all doing exactly that. Obviously, this side of heaven. And we get to spend today having a standalone message. And today is a message that I get to speak based upon what I believe God is speaking specifically for this location of Bridge City Church. Very similar to last week was a standalone message as well. And Jordan Armstrong, you did a phenomenal job communicating last week. So proud of you and the message that God communicated through you. And it was amazing to get to see him preach for the first time on a Sunday morning. But today's message is a message that is just specifically for the White Oak campus. And you can go online to bridgecitypgh.com and you can listen to each message that's being delivered at Murraysville and North Braddock and Brighton Heights and hear the different messages that are being communicated at those locations. But we are one church in four locations. And today you get to hear one of those four messages. And usually during a standalone message, you all think like, oh, Pastor Nick is going to preach about community. Here we go. We're going to hear another message from Acts 2. I know it. I know what he's going to do. And listen, that's when I hear a standalone message, I start praying to God, like, God, what do you want me to preach about for community? Like, I'm there because that's my heart. If you were to ask what's going to overflow out of Pastor Nick's heart, it's community, it's Acts 2, it's giving of your time, it's giving of yourself, it's seeing what happens when you're all gathered together and God will add to those numbers. That's what happens, okay? But God really challenged me and said, listen, I want you to preach on something different. And I was like, okay, well, you got to give me something. And he's like, I want you to preach on finances. I was like, God, that's not me. And he's like, no, it is. And he's like, I'm going to give you a different perspective than I've ever given you to preach on finances. And I was like, okay. I started leaning forward because perspective is kind of like my life's message. I would look at people that were so ahead of me in ministry and they're like, this is my life's message. This is my life's message. This is my life's message. I'm like, that's really cool, God. I want one of those. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I was like, God, I just really want one of those. And he was like, Nick, you're going to be a perspective changer. You're going to be used to change the perspective of people within the kingdom. People that were in the world and they need to see the kingdom in a different way. You're going to be a perspective changer. I was like, that sounds great. Let me do that. And as a matter of fact, one of those people that I looked up to so much early on in ministry and still today look up to is in the room. They're sitting in the front row. It's Pastor Doug and Paula Allen. And listen, we're going to honor them in a second. You can clap in a second. Hold on. I'm going to talk about them first. Married for 43 years? 42. I asked him. I should have asked you. He said he counted shack up time. Don't do as he did. Do as he telling you to do now. They didn't meet Jesus till after they got married. 38 years of serving the ministry. I asked him, Paula, if that's wrong, you tell me. 38 years of serving the kingdom. Now, if you have had any time around Pastor Doug or Paula, you've probably heard him speak in Russian, smuggled Bibles into Russia, lived there for a time, lived in an even more dangerous land, Louisiana. I want to take a moment. You may have never met them. You have no idea what a Pastor Doug is. You have no idea what a Paula is. But we're going to honor them because recently retired. They're moving to Florida. Snowbirds. But I want to take a moment and I want to honor the gift that they are to the kingdom. And if you can stand to your feet and just honor the gift that they are, not you, you don't get to stand. Let's give a shout to heaven. And you being here fits perfectly to the message. You're like, how does finances fit into honoring them? It fits perfect. It fits perfectly. It couldn't fit more perfectly. Because today we're going to shift the way that we think about finances in the kingdom. We're going to shift the way we think about planning in the kingdom. Because we think about planning and that it's worldly and it's a worldly idea and focusing for the future is a worldly idea. But it's a kingdom strategy, because when we plan, we do things on purpose. When we plan, we do things and we ask for God's peace to fall upon us. When we plan, we say, God, listen, this is what I'm believing for. I want your provision to meet it. But we think if we plan, we're removing God from the equation, but actually we're welcoming him into it. Proverbs 21, verse 5, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. I'll read it again. Proverbs 21, verse 5. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Now listen, I'm not going to stand before you and preach this prosperity gospel. That's not who I am. It's not what I believe in. But I believe that when we plan and we take what we're believing for and we submit it to God, that we see things happen. When we take what we're believing for the future and we submit it to God and then we work hard, we don't take shortcuts. His blessings follow that. For decades, working for the kingdom. For decades, pouring themselves out. For decades, investing. For decades. Now they get to see a return on that investment and go to Florida. Lots of people need Jesus down there. I've been there. But listen, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. Listen, the Bible just doesn't encourage us to just pray about things. I'll just pray about it. I'll just pray about it. And listen, I'll pray about it is one of the Christian ways of saying no. Hey, I need help on this date. Oh, I'll pray about it. Might as well just say no. I want you to go on the Pittsburgh mission trip. I'm really praying about it. I'm really looking for a way to say no. That's what you're telling me. God doesn't want us to just pray about things. He commands us to plan. He commands us in these verses to plan for things. God blesses diligence and hard work and putting your hands to the plow, not shortcuts. God does not bless the 1-2-3 get rich quick scheme. God doesn't bless that. God blesses hard work and diligence. Listen, we're planning and believing for and looking for towards the future for the White Oak campus and for Bridge City Church as a whole. Just had two days of long meetings, 8 hours plus apiece on Wednesday and Thursday of this past week. And we're planning and believing for the future. And you're seeing the result of a lot of those things. And you being in here for the second worship experience, there were people in here for the first. We're planning and believing for a third. And we're planning and believing for a new building that we're going to build or we're going to renovate. And listen, that's 13 years of planning and preparing and believing for. You guys didn't just show up. It's 13 years of this. It commanded that we planned and we prepared and we made space. We were a steward of spiritual things. And stewardship is not a secular thing. It's spiritual. Us being a good steward of what God is giving us. We're stewards of everything that God has given us. Everything, not just money. We're called to steward our time. Telling our time where to go. We're called to steward our talents, the gifts that God has given us. What are we gifted in? And are you stewarding that well? And we're called to steward our money, telling our money where to go. Are we stewarding that well? You want to know how I learned about stewardship? Okay, we're going to pause for radio station identification. If I ask a question, it's just common courtesy, like answer me. Okay, because I said, do you want to know how I learned about stewardship? And no one answered except for Jody in the second row. So what that leads me to believe is that I should turn the mic off, sit right there and just tell Jody. And Kurt's going to be there as well. He's going to get the benefit. Okay, so we go. Would you like to learn how I learned about stewardship?
Yes!
Woo! Church picnic. 15 years ago, I had a Volkswagen Passat. I loved this car. It was like, I had it for 2 weeks. It got egged outside of my house. If you know, if anything that I have is out of sorts and it's dirty, I'm not good. I'm talking my cell phone, my glasses. I don't like dirty. I'll clean anything. I'll clean your stuff if it's sitting next to me and it's not looking good. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. Okay? I'm not judging you. I want to bless you. Let me clean your screen. Okay? So I'm standing in the parking lot and I'm wiping my car. And Rachel's like, come on, we gotta go. We gotta get. I was like, I'm getting this egg off the car. And a gentleman's walking down the parking lot and he says, Rachel, it's okay. He is just being a good steward of what God's given him. And I was like, yeah. I'm being a good steward of what God's given me. Okay? But that taught me so much because, listen, it was a used car. It had like 75, 80,000 miles on it. I had it for 2 weeks. The next week, the turbo cracked, the engine blew up, and it was shooting chocolate milk out of the top and bottom of the car. Thank God I knew the owner of the dealership that I bought it from, and he took it back. But I was a good steward of that car for the 2.5 weeks that I had it. I loved that thing. Okay? Stewardship is you caring for everything that God gave you. Your time, your talents, and your treasure. So I have a question. What are you doing with your time? Are you investing it well? Are you going to get a return on your investment of your time? Or is your time just, you look at the end of the day and you're like, where did the time go? Are you investing time into other people's eternities, their life? And I'm not talking about like you're sitting down and quoting chapter and verse over. No, I'm talking about investing quality, important time. It can be anywhere. But are you being purposeful with your time? Are you stewarding it well? I look back at the times that I got to spend with my natural father, my earthly father, and it was so valuable. Just driving to sporting events or driving to the practices that he was able to come to, or when I got old enough, taking him to dinner. One of my favorite things was picking him up and taking him to dinner. I was able to take him to the Winchester room once. I remember I got I was landscaping and I got my paycheck and I took him to the Winchester room. I missed the Winchester room so bad. Just having a great steakhouse locally, like seriously, the shrimp cocktail and a ribeye, and I got to buy my dad that. One of the greatest memories I've ever had. Spending time. Now, it didn't have to be a lot of money, but it was a memory for me. Are you being a good steward of the talents God gave you? You may be sitting here like, I'm not talented. Yes, you are. Every single one of you has a talent that God has placed within you. Are you using it, or are you just coming in and sitting on a seat? Uh-oh. I thought he was just going to talk about money. Now he's talking about my time. Now he's talking about my talent. Yeah, we're talking about everything because we're going to be a good steward. If you can smile, and then you can take that smiling and stack it on top of talking, and then you can say, hey, God, I need you to meet me. And he could anoint that with the gift of hospitality. We would love for you to be at the front door welcoming people into God's house. The person that just went, woo, wasn't somebody that is excited to be anointed to do that. He's the person that is excited because he's leading that team. Don't scare them, Tom. Maybe you're somebody that's sitting here and you're really nervous to tell people that you have so much wisdom and so much knowledge within you and so much of a heart for the next generation that you would be overwhelmed with joy if somebody just asked you to serve in Bridge City Kids. Or maybe you'd be somebody that'd be overjoyed to serve in the nursery part of Bridge City Kids so that you could pray over those babies and encourage those babies. They're not just holding babies in there. They're praying over them. They're encouraging them. They're empowering them. They're equipping them. And they're providing you an opportunity to be in here and hear the word of God and worship him. Maybe you are somebody that is gifted in that area and would love, that's, you're like, oh, that's not a gift. And yes, that is, because there's people that don't like kids. And we don't want them in there. We want the gifted people that love kids in there. Here we go. Here's another one. Maybe you are somebody that's really gifted in the area of music, and you have the gift of being able to play the drums. And you haven't told anyone. Because you're nervous. And you know who loves that? The enemy loves that you haven't told anybody because you're fearful, because you don't want anybody to know, because you've never stepped forward in that way, because you've never played worship music. But you're getting the heart for worship. And God wants to take that and anoint it, but the enemy is holding you back. Listen. We can show you what it's like to have a heart for worship. God can produce that in you and pull that out as he anoints the gift that you have. You just need to step out in faith. I've been praying for years for God to just give me an hour where I can play the drums. Just 1 hour. Just 1 hour. And I've told everybody that has ever stepped behind that kit, if I come over there and say move, it's because the Holy Spirit's met me and he is aligned. He has aligned my hands and my feet to function at the same time. Listen, I got rhythm. I do. I'm musically inclined. I used to play the saxophone. I played the cello. I did all that. My feet and my hands cannot at the same time. They just can't do it. But one day, the Holy Spirit's going to fall upon me, and I'm going to be able to do that just for an hour. I'm believing for 60 minutes. But maybe you already have that gift. And you need to tell somebody and stop sitting on it. Here we go. Maybe you know how to play the keys. Lennon's teaching me how to play keys. He's learning keys by numbers. He's like, Daddy, here, watch this. He's like, do, 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 do. I was like, yeah, that's cool, buddy. I can do that. I was like, why don't you try preaching? I I'm proud of you, buddy. You can teach somebody else. What is it? He's like, 1, 2, 3, 4. Five's hard. He's like, 5's over here. 5's hard. Maybe you already have that gift and you need to step out and do it. Tell somebody. Here's another gift. You're sitting there. I'm not gifted. If you know what a cup is and you know what liquid is and you could put liquid in the cup, you know what we can train you to do? We can get you next to Dawn, who leads our cafe team, and we can show you how to do that with so much joy and so much excitement, and we can show you how to empower and encourage and equip people to get ready to hear a message, all while putting liquid in a cup. Are you stewarding your time, your talent, and your treasure? Here we go, money. Are you investing in things that are going to return? Not maybe here, but sometimes later on, you're going to see a return in heaven. It might be really easy for you to give money, but it's hard for you to give of your time, and you don't think you have a talent. Here comes the money talk. Oh, no. Here, I knew he was going to get to the money part. Luke 14, 28 through 30. But don't begin until you've count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money. And then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, there's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. Some of you, it's really easy for you to give of your time. Some of you, it's really easy for you to say, this is my talent and I would like to give of it. Some of you, it's really hard for you to do that and you'd much rather just give money. Some of you, it's really hard for you to give money because maybe it's you've been hurt by church in the past or you have this unbelievable fear of money, or maybe you just think, oh, the church just wants my money. The church wants nothing to do with your money. God wants everything to do with your heart. And I want to change your perspective on kingdom and money and finances. I was challenged by this around Easter. And here's why. I've been going to Penguin games since I was a little kid, a younger kid. I was never little, okay? And we would always park in the same parking lot, always. And the same dude would always run the parking lot. It's amazing that he kind of looks the same. I've gotten older, and this dude's the same. And he's been old since. Like, I don't know, like, he's just the same. And when we started parking there, when I was a kid, he would pull out this big wad of cash and he would make change whenever you parked there. And that was just how it's always been. And Lennon and I, last year, we were blessed with, it was this year, but last season, we were blessed with tickets to go down to the game. And I had some cash in my pocket, and I went to pull in to park, and I pulled cash out, and he was like, I can't break that. I don't have any cash. I was like, uh-oh. He's like, but I take Venmo. And he had a big cardboard thing with a QR code, and I was like, sweet. And I scanned it, sent him cash, parked. It was very convenient. We go to Kennywood now, and you can't spend cash. It's cashless. You got to go to an ATM, put cash in, get a Kennywood card if you want to spend cash at Kennywood. PNC Park is completely cashless. Heinz Field, completely cashless. Don't correct me, it's Heinz Field. It will always be Heinz Field. Don't tell me otherwise. Right? Can't take our ketchup away. They haven't made ketchup in Pittsburgh in years. But anyways. So in the world, we're totally okay with them doing all these things to take our money. I say take purposefully. But when it comes to the church, don't talk about money. Don't make it simple for God to receive what's rightfully His. I say this because when we talk about the ways to give, the enemy instantly creeps in and says, huh, they got a kiosk over there. They put those tap cards on the back of the seat. You believe that? What kind of church texts to give? I can't believe they talk about that you can give on the website. And a basket. And they have the gall to put out envelopes as well. But if they don't do that at Kohl's, if they don't take debit, website payment, Apple Pay, Samsung Pay, jump on your head pay, Affirm Pay, Klarna, it's inconvenienced. Our perspective is the world can do whatever they want to take your money. But if God wants to receive it, what's rightfully His, the enemy will begin to lie. This is making me so uncomfortable because this is not who I am. This is what God asked me to preach. If you know me, you know that this is not me. I'm all like, Acts 2, community, let's do it. No, but I'm feeling the weight of planning for the future, and planning for the future is going to take all of us to do it.
That's right.
I'm serious. When I started attending the church, 80% of the church was tithing. That's 19 years ago. It'll be 20 in January. We're lucky to say if 30% is now. Oh, what? I thought everybody was doing it, right? That's crazy to think that. But that's where we are. That's the culture we live in now. I'm excited about it, though, because new babies don't know yet. But we need moms and dads and aunts and uncles that are willing to show them and tell them and help them. You know who broke that idea of, I can't believe the church has a Venmo, like we'll do text to give and tap cards and all that? A person that's been attending within the last year. Not me. I didn't break that stigma. Somebody else did. They planted this seed for this message in my heart. We need to open up the doors of generosity. Because wealth in the kingdom isn't about status, it's about how we steward things. Wealth in the kingdom is so important, and God's not against us having money. He's not. He's against money having you. God's not against you having an excitement about wealth within the kingdom. God's guarding your heart from money pushing you forward in certain areas. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money, they've wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. The issue isn't money, it's misplaced affection of it. When money drives you, it destroys you. But when you drive money, it becomes a tool for impact. You want to talk about a tool? We're going to welcome the Honduras team back up. We're going to welcome them up at the stage later. They're going to talk about all the homes that they were able to build in Honduras. They're going to show pictures of the homes that now have plaques on the outside of the walls right by the door frame that say Bridge City Church on it. The money that you gave just after Easter was used as a tool to build homes so that those hammers could be swung, so that those saws could be used, so that those nails could be driven, so that the money could be used as a tool to build homes. Listen, I didn't have the money to just go and say, hey, let's build six homes. But we did. We all did. And then we sent a bunch of spiritual tools to go use some physical tools to build homes. Yes, you're all tools. Spiritual ones. In the most complimentary form of the word, you're a tool. Luke 16, 10 through 11. If you're faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in the large ones. But if you're dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? Listen, I'm from McKeesport, White Oak. You can take the boy out of McKeesport, but you can't take the McKeesport out of the boy, okay? Are we good with that? Can I fix that? Okay. We all think that Biggie figured this out. Mo money, mo problems. He did not do that. The Bible did. New levels, new devils. The higher you go in ministry, the higher you go in your walk, the farther you go in serving God, the more the enemy doesn't like that. It's not mo money, mo problems. It's new levels, new devils. Here's how I know it, and I see it time and time again. There's four men that just got baptized recently. They're all part of our connection group, and I was so excited to see them step forward and get baptized because God's using them to change their families, and they're seeing it. And the men that are rising up within the church, it's so beautiful because when men lead, people follow, communities follow, neighborhoods follow, families follow. I know that's happening, and it is happening. I have testimony after testimony to prove it. But here we go. Four men, part of our connection group, get baptized. They all come to my house because we're having a fire / cookout for a connection group. They all get there early. I didn't tell them to get there early. They all get there early. They just wanted to help. And they're all talking amongst themselves. And they're like, hey, has your week kind of been bad since we got baptized? Yeah. And they're like, have you kind of been getting tested a lot this week? And I'm listening. I'm standing at the blocks. And I'm like, and he's like, yeah, my week's been rough. Mine too. Yours? Yeah, man. That's why I came early. I wanted to talk. And I'm all standing, I'm listening. And we talked after, and I was like, listen, guys, you all, not only did you get baptized in front of the 300 people that were there that day, but a lot of you posted it on Facebook. Your families were sharing things. There's like thousands of people now that know that you're a Christian and you allowed for God to change you from the inside and you're outwardly showing the world now. You're done just going to church. You're now being the church. And guess who doesn't like that? And they all were like, huh, that makes sense. I was like, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. When you start being the church and stop just going to church, things change. New levels, new devils. Now, mo money, mo problems is also true, but Biggie got that from this. Listen, a lot of hip-hop songs are sampled from the Bible. Say, Pastor Doug said word. A word up. Listen, I took somebody to DJ last night with me at a wedding, and I played a song. It's called Atomic Dog, and the beat was playing, and then right after that I played Snoop Dogg, What's My Name, and they sampled those songs together. He's like, they stole it. It's like, yeah, man, everything that's new today was taken from something old. Everything that the enemy is doing, he's trying to discredit what God is trying to do. Anyways, that wasn't in my notes. That was just extra. That's free of charge. Listen, if God can't trust you to manage resources, why would he trust you to give you fresh revelation in your life? If you're struggling to hear him, if you're struggling to see where he's leading you, if you're struggling to step out in faith to use your talent, if you're struggling to give of your time in a godly way, if you're struggling to have the faith to give financially, and you think you're not hearing him, maybe it's because you're not managing the resources that he gave you in a God-honoring way. Just maybe. He needs to be able to trust you. Faithfulness with money qualifies you for spiritual promotion. I'm a firm believer in that. I really am. And I also know that money is the last thing to come in a baby's life. I know that too, but I believe that it can happen first as well. Listen, planning unlocks purpose and peace. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the meetings of God's holy people. I don't know where you were at before you walked in here today. I don't know where a lot of you were at before you started attending church, period. But I do know what you get when you start attending. I know what you receive when you pull into the parking lot after you find a parking space. I get it that there's a lot of anxiety and chaos sometimes because, listen, God's moving. There's a whole other parking lot in the back in case you ever wondered. And everyone's like, oh, what? We tell you about that when you start serving. When you start serving, you get to park farther and farther and farther away. Huh? There's an alley in the back too. Oh. Yeah, there's a whole parking lot, aerospace engineering. You could park there whenever you want. There's always parking. And then you walk beside the building, you come right through the alley here and walk in the back door. Ha ha ha. If you start serving, you start to know these things. It's just a little bit of a walk, but there's always parking until we fill it. But anyways, I don't know what you walked in with, but I know what you can walk out with. Peace. Because the world wants to create chaos, and chaos brings anxiety, but God's order in our life brings peace. And when we bring a plan and a purpose to everything within our life that we're called to bring a plan and a purpose and an order to, our time, our talent, our tithe, it's called budgeting. You can budget your time. You can budget your talent in so many ways. You can say, either I'm going to use it or I'm not going to use it. I'm going to tell people about it or I'm not going to tell people about it. And you can definitely budget your treasure. But when you budget things, you're making a declaration of divine order over your life. You're making a divine declaration over your time. You're making a divine declaration over your talent. You're making a divine declaration over your treasure. And I want those things to happen. Listen, Proverbs 13, verse 22. God's people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren, but the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. Listen, I want you to understand, I don't have a lot financially that I know that I'm going to be leaving to Lennon. Lennon, I know you're sitting in here, bud. I don't have a huge 401k. I don't have a huge 403b. That's the 401k version for a nonprofit. My Roth IRA is not big, buddy. Mommy and I don't have a huge estate. Okay, you know the house we live in. Okay? But I'm going to leave a whole bunch of spiritual things for you. We're going to invest in the next generation with everything we got for this kingdom. We have always been a generational church, and we will always be a generational church. We will always walk out 2 Timothy 2:2. Take what you've seen me preach and teach and pass it on to other like-minded people that will do the same. People are like, are you worried that Jordan preached you out of a job? No, that is my job. To equip others for the work of the ministry. Any of you else want to preach, let me know. I got 52 weeks I'd love to take off. I'm serious. Equip others for the work of the ministry. Jordan did a phenomenal job, and guess what? He's going to get to do it again. And maybe I'll lead worship one week. Why did you all laugh at that? Don't we serve a big God? You clapped for that. You laughed at the other thing. You didn't laugh at me. You laughed at God. You didn't believe that he could do it. I could Kirk Franklin this stage. I could run around, stomp my feet and say, can I get a hallelujah? And everybody behind me would be, hallelujah.
That's cat, dog.
Huh? That's cat. I can, listen, all Kirk does is run around and clap. I can do that. I am a leader of worship. I might not be a worship leader, but you're all leader of worship. Why'd you laugh? Jordan's going to preach again. Yeah. Maybe I'll lead worship. We'll see. I can lip sync. I spilled. Ecclesiastes 11:2. We're going to start landing the plane. Before we get there, though, I want to remind you, kingdom people think generationally. God doesn't just want to bless your now. He wants to bless your legacy. What's your legacy look like? What you're passing on going to look like? You can start investing in your legacy now. It doesn't matter about your past. It matters about your now and what you're doing tomorrow. Hit the restart button. Start now. Start investing now. But divide your investments among many places, for you don't know what risks might lie ahead. Biblical wisdom says, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Listen, planning isn't about fear, it's about foresight. God wants you to multiply everything in your life with wisdom. Put his wisdom on everything in your life. Don't just invite God into your Sunday mornings for an hour and 15 to an hour and a half. Invite him into your everyday. Invite him into the budget of your time. Invite him into the budget of your talents. Invite him into the budget of your money. What's he say? Listen, I'm totally for and totally understand what it means to like sow into something with emotion attached to it. I get that. Like you go into an environment and you weren't prepared, but you sow because you were led by compassion or you were moved by compassion. I get that. I understand that. That's important for the Holy Spirit to move upon you. I get that. But there's something about when you begin to sow intentionally. Like when you begin to sow into something with intentionality, it changes you. Like we sowed with intentionality into Honduras, and now we know there are homes there with Bridge City placards on them. That we saw people build homes there. You know that people have mattresses and a door and a roof and a home surrounding them in the mountains of, I can't never say it, Montaña de la Flor. I just need to hear it and then I can repeat it. See, if I have somebody singing with me, just like Kirk. Sowing intentionally changes you. When you begin to do things with intentionality. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't taken a step forward in your intentional giving, to do that and submit it to God. And take a step forward in recognizing that we're not a people that are ever going to apologize for God's blessings in our life. It's not about flaunting what God's doing. It's about fulfilling the prayers that we've been praying for and sowing into for years. You're all here because of 14 plus years of prayer. Some of you, this is your first week here, and you're reaping the benefits of 14 years of prayer. The White Oak Camp has been in existence for 13 years, but we were praying and believing for a year before that. We are praying and believing and sowing for the future of the White Oak Campus and a building that we're going to hopefully build in Jesus' name, or a building that we're going to renovate that's going to have enough land so that you don't have to fight for parking. We're believing for that, but currently I have 6.5 to 8.5 million reasons why we're not going to build. But we got to fill this place 3 to 4 times before we get there. We're at 2 right now, but we have everything we need to sow into that sitting here right now. Right now. We have everything we need. God says, I will give you everything you need to fulfill what I've called you to do. If you're walking according to his will, I'm pretty sure we're walking according to his will. Everything. And we're going to celebrate it. Listen, we don't need to plan because we don't trust God. We plan because we do. I'm planning, we're planning for the future of Bridge City Church. Not because we don't trust him and we don't believe that he's going to show up. We're planning because I do believe that he's going to show up. I lay awake at night with not fear, but Lord, what happens if we handed out 3,500 iced teas at the Memorial Day Parade? Probably 2,000 plus invites. Lord, what if they would have all showed up today? What would we have done? If all 2,000 people would have accepted the invitation that you all handed them at the Memorial Day Parade last Monday. 2,000 people. There's 286 chairs in here. I mean, I'm all for it, but hey, excuse me, guys, just hold on 1 second. We got to throw the chairs out the window. I love the faith. I mean, there are windows behind these curtains. We removed 3,200 pounds of drywall out of here. When we moved in, we could remove all the chairs. But what would you do if they all accepted the invitation? We need to plan now so that we can prepare for the future. And listen, God prepared for you to be here today. If you're here today and you haven't accepted the first investment that God wants to make into your life so that you can continue to invest into the future of the kingdom, and that investment is the cross. He made an investment into your life so that you can move into a kingdom future. If you don't have a day, a time, a place, a moment where you've received what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you, I want today to be your day. The Bible's very clear. It tells us that we need to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that he is Lord, so that we shall be saved. Saved from what? First off, an eternity without him. Second, yourself. Your past, the things that were done to you, the things that you did. Take the investment he made into the world so that you can know that your debt's been paid and you can start investing your time differently. Your talents differently, and your treasure. Listen, if you don't have a day, a time, a place, I'm gonna ask you to do one of the bravest things you've ever done in your life, but the best thing you'll ever do, and not just slip your hand up to heaven and say, that's me, Pastor. I don't have that day where I've received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I don't know where I'm gonna spend eternity. And Am I missing a hand? Somebody's just clapping. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Anyone else? Don't let this moment pass. You're not promised tomorrow. The Bible says that the heavens rejoice every time one returns. Heaven's rejoicing with us right now.